Well, there certainly was some good news over the weekend. And I will start with Fernando Tatis Jr., who is now looking like he's back to being Fernando Tatis Jr. at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
He is taking good swings. He is on a career-best 15-game hitting streak, which he extended. Just a beautiful home run in the first inning yesterday. Pitch that we were watching the highlights again this morning. 93, absolutely on the outside corner. Didn't overswing. Just took a nice, smooth swing and knocked it over the center field wall at Petco Park on another gloomy June day. You know that Fernando's locked in when he can do something like that.
This series, Fernando Tatis Jr., 6 for 17, 2 doubles, 2 homers, 2 RBI, batting .353, OPS of 1274, is about as nasty as it gets.
He is.
What is it about the month of June?
I don't know, man. The calendar turns, and it's like he wakes up. It's crazy.
He's raised his average during this 15-game hitting streak. I heard Jesse mention this on the broadcast. Just about 40 points. He's now in, like, what, 280s, 12 home runs, and, just in time for the All-Star ballots to come out. And if the Padres fans... You know, they need to be stuffing the ballots for Profar and Tatis. Would love to see both of those guys starting in the outfield for the National League. I have seen Teoscar Hernandez has been pretty hot as well for the Dodgers. Brandon Marsh is having a good season for the Phillies. But would love to see a couple of Padres starting for the All-Star National League squad in Arlington, Texas, coming up next month. So get those ballots in online. Go find your way to vote for some San Diego Padres. He's got a lot on his shoulders, though, with Manny out. And hopefully Manny... sounds like could be back in the lineup today as a designated hitter. Mike Schilt said he was available yesterday, just didn't have any place to use him. There was never a big at-bat where, you know, he could have brought Manny up as a pinch hitter, but he was definitely available yesterday. Manny himself said, hey, I've been doing a lot of work the last few days, you know, intense work, and recovery's gone really well. So my guess is, you know, assuming he gets up and feels okay today, you'll see Manny Machado in the lineup. If he's not, then they probably should have put him on the injured list 4 days ago when they had the opportunity. But if he plays today, I'm good with that decision to keep Manny available for the second half of this 10 days that he would have been on an IL stint.
Sure. Yeah, sure. It's you know, listen, Manny is at his peak value when he's playing third base for this team, though, right? That's really where it comes into play. And you've seen how you definitely miss his glove and especially his arm over at third base right now when guys are having to fill in. And it just changes everything. So we'll see. Hopefully he's back in the lineup. Hopefully he gets back on the field sooner than later.
You've got a couple of other guys who have started to get hot as well. Ha-Sung Kim is barreling the ball well lately. It's taken him some time to get going, but he's been locked in more than he has all season. Jake Cronenworth had a beautiful, beautiful home run on Saturday against a lefty, no less. And he has been struggling badly against left-handers this season, but had a great, great at-bat on that one that helped the Padres to the 13-1 win over the Arizona Diamondbacks. The real laugher of the series, I mean, there were a few games that weren't that close, but that was the one that Padres just kind of all around did really well on Saturday night. Matt Waldron went 6 innings, gave up just 3 hits, 1 earned run.
It's been unreal.
He has been
unreal.
Terrific. Terrific. For the guy that we were the most skeptical about in the Padres rotation going into this season, and he didn't really give us a ton of reason to change that opinion in April, May, and now into June, he's been fantastic. Even when he hasn't had his devastating knuckleball, when he has, no one can touch it.
Right.
But even when he hasn't, he's found a way to keep Padres in games, keep the damage to a minimum, and he has pitched really, really well. Very impressed with Matt Waldron.
They backed him up, you know, offensively on Saturday night so well, too. I mean, he got out of jams. He was fantastic, man. He's been a revelation. And whatever he's working on, Benny, I started to talk to Ruben about it a little bit, and then out of nowhere, Tom Candiotti, the old former knuckleballer who had an Arizona Diamondbacks logoed shirt.
He's one of the broadcasters.
Yeah, he's one of the broadcasters. He came over and I said, I'll let you guys chat. And they started talking about the knuckleball. And he was asking Ruben how he could help, and which I thought was really cool. I mean, he's a Diamondbacks broadcaster, and he's like, no. And I could kind of hear bits and pieces of the convo. And Ruben's like, no, you know, we want him to throw it more, and he's throwing it more. He's throwing it with conviction. And Tom Candiotti was like, hey, if there's anything you need at all, like, just let me know. I'm happy to help. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, they had the inning, I don't know if you saw it, where Mudd and Tom Candiotti traded places.
No.
Candiotti went in with Don for an inning.
What was that?
Talk knuckleball. I think was that it Saturday? Was Saturday.
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was on Saturday. And then Mudd went into the Diamondbacks booth for an inning as well. And they, I don't know what they talked about.
He was great,
but
man. He was really, really cool to hear them talking about the knuckleball. And Ruben's like, hey, this is the first time I've ever coached a knuckleballer. So we're all kind of learning as we go right now. But Matty Waldron has been fantastic.
There's one other player I want to bring up that had a good weekend that surprised me.
It better be who I think it is.
It might not be. I will do so. I do want to throw out the phone numbers for a Take on Woods contestant here. 833-288-0973. Want to get in? See if he can be the first to qualify for our new trip to the Fontainebleau in our musical trivia challenge coming up here in about 3 or 4 minutes. 833-288-0973. I was pretty much ready, along with quite a bit of the Padres fan base, if I have followed correctly along social media, ready to give up on David Peralta a few days ago.
I thought you were going to say Kyle Higashioka.
That's who I thought.
You can mention Higgy as well, but David Peralta looked like perhaps he was washed up and over the hill. And the last few days, he has swung the bat much better, including Saturday night when he went 3 for 3 and reached base all 5 times. Had a hit yesterday as well. I don't ever see him as being a guy that's going to be an anchor to a lineup or be able
carry
to put a team on his shoulders. But David Peralta can be a useful piece against right-handers if he can get a little bit hot. And it looked like it wasn't ever going to happen, but maybe, just maybe, all of a sudden, a couple days, he's upped his average into what, like 260
yep.
territory?
5 for 12 on the weekend.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, that's a positive sign.
Extra
there.
Extra base hits.
Higgy, yeah, 3 home runs in his last, what, 9 games?
Yep.
You know, barreling the ball and should be getting more opportunities. Now, Campy had a 3-hit game yep. over the weekend as well after the long 0-for stretch for both of them. Both Padres catchers showing some signs offensively. You know, Higgy is still, I think, the superior defensive catcher of the two as well. So when he's hitting, you really do need to take advantage of that and get him into the lineup, I would say, a little bit more often. You're going to need both of those guys all season long. But, yeah, Higashioka has taken some better at-bats lately.
No question about it. And, you know, before, he was just not getting a lot of opportunity to do so. And that didn't make the most of every opportunity he had, certainly. But it's nice to see him. He's a good dude, works really, really hard, and was tasked here with a very unenviable job. Hey, I need you to catch this knuckleballer who's not really a knuckleballer, and then, you know, get 3 hits every time you play once a week. Tough to get it going, but really nice to see him, like you said, hitting some barrels and playing good defense and helping the team win.
One other observation from Saturday. So they had 3 more 4-run innings in that game.
Yep.
They all came in the first 5 innings of the game. And the Padres once again lead baseball in innings with 4 or more runs scored, which is crazy when you think about it, because they're not like right at the top of baseball offensively, but they are the team that more often than any other team strings together big innings. And when they do, they almost invariably win those games. When they don't, though, it's very hard for the Padres to win.
Correct.
When they're just putting up, you know, picket fences and a single run here or there, they end up losing those games 3-2. 4-2, 4-3. When they have those 4-run innings, generally they go on to win. But you can't be able to count on those every single time to win baseball games. Now, I like that the Padres were able to win with the long ball. We talked with Mike Schilt about that on Friday. Yeah, where's the slug? And, of course,
the slug
returns over the weekend. If that holds, then I've got some optimism going forward that the Padres can be a sustainable, get above 500 and stay above 500 team if they get the kind of slug we saw over the weekend.
Yeah, don't bunt. Not with your 3-hole hitter. He had
Who had 2 home runs this weekend.
Yeah, he had 2. Yeah, maybe don't just swing away. How about that? Very capable. It's because I love you. I'm telling you not to bunt. You're too good.
You ready for a game of Take on Woods, guys?
All
right, let's get to it.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. I see we got Daniel on the line. Daniel, good morning. Welcome to Take on Woods.
Good morning.
All right, here's what you are playing for. If you can beat our 5 questions, you will qualify for our grand prize 2-night stay at the Fontainebleau Las Vegas. Fancy. Tickets to either Hootie and the Blowfish or The Smashing Pumpkins at the Blow Live Theater, and a $150 poolside dining credit. Summer room packages and tickets are available now at FontainebleauLasVegas.com. That is quite the prize. Love to see you have a chance to win it. And I will give you the category choice to help you out here. You've got It's Not False, which you can figure out as you go. House Party. Those are five songs with the word house in it. That's an all 2 second song category. And we've got Over Under Part 2. We had Part 1 last week. More song titles that include either the word over or under in them. It's Not False, House Party, Over Under Part 2.
Let's try House Party.
Ooh, okay. This is an all 2 second song edition of Take on Woods. I'll give Polly a chance to call everything up. You'll have 60 seconds to identify as many of the five songs by both title and artist as you can. You only get the point if you get them both, so make sure you think about it before you answer. If you don't know one, you can pass. You can think about it. We can come back to it if there's still time left on the clock. Polly, are you ready? All right, Daniel, are you ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. The category is House Party, all 2 second songs. Your time begins when Paul plays the first song. Good luck, Daniel. Let's take on Woods.
House the Right Time to Handle.
Correct, song two.
Our House by Talking, or Burning Down the House by Talking Heads.
Incorrect. Song number three.
Oh my God. Burning Down the House, Talking Heads.
That is correct. Song number four.
Is that Brick House by the Commodores?
That is correct. And song number five. The last one here.
You play it again?
Yeah, go ahead.
I know this one. I don't even have a good guess.
That's all right. You have three, which is not a bad score in House Party. You got House of the Rising Sun by the Animals, Burning Down the House by the Talking Heads, and Brick House by the Commodores. You were close. It was Our House by Madness. And then the last one was My House by Flo Rida. So you got three. Is that enough? Or at least the tie, maybe? Hang on the line, Daniel. We'll see. As Woods comes in, I will tell Woods that it's all 2 second songs. I will not give him the category. Makes it a little tougher for him. Okay. Daniel's score is locked in. Polly getting all the music ready. You know how it works. Song titles and artists. 60 seconds on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the first song. Good luck. Let's take on Daniel.
House of the Rising Sun. Pass.
Second song.
God. Pass.
Song three.
It's Talking Heads.
Oh, boy.
God, wow. I'm all over the place. Burning Down the House.
Correct. Song four.
Brick House by the Commodores?
Correct. Song five.
Pass.
Go back to song one.
House of the Rising Sun by Manfred Mann.
Incorrect. Song two.
Our House by F.
You need it.
I know. Our House one. By...
Time's running out.
Our House...
3 seconds.
I'm out.
Oh!
Our House man. By Madness.
Madness! Too late!
Just
and
remember.
Daniel
Madness.
By a 3-2 score.
Son of a bitch.
It's an outright win today on Take on Woods. Congratulations. Daniel, you have qualified for the trip to the Fontainebleau, the Smashing Pumpkins or Hootie and the Blowfish tickets as well, and the $150 dining credit.
Wait, what?
At the Fontainebleau.
Smashing Pumpkins.
You
or
get a choice of either
weekend.
Hootie
oh, wow.
or
I thought
Smashing
they were
Pumpkins.
Together,
no, no,
I
no.
thought, whoa, that is an odd combo.
They're not. It's different shows. You get to choose which one you want to go to. Yeah, the category was House Party.
Okay.
House of the Rising Sun by right. The Animals.
The Animals.
Our
Idiot.
House by Madness, you got After the Buzzer. Yeah. Burning Down the House, you got Brick House. And then the last one's My House by Flo Rida.
I'd heard it, but I didn't know them. They play it on commercials a
they
lot.
They do.
Yeah.
That was the tough one.
But they played
the
on Padres commercials? I heard that song on Padres commercials? Maybe. Damn it. The Animals.
The Animals.
And Madness. Oh, I would have tied it. Son of a...
Good game today. Good game today. Congratulations, Daniel Paul. I'll get your information during our break. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back with Take On... Or with Don't Do This.
We and just if you, did that one.
If you missed it, there was a couple of wild things that happened involving Padres minor league games this weekend.
Bananas. Bananas.
Crazy stuff on Don't Do This. Next, after traffic, here on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. The Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thekrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thekrafttaco.com. And there was some weird stuff going on in baseball this weekend. And one of them involved the Padres minor league affiliate, AA team, the San Antonio Missions. This was on Saturday night in a game that they were leading by two runs. I think it was 4-2 maybe in the bottom of the ninth inning. Two outs. But Midland, the home team, their opponent, had the two runs on base and the go-ahead winning run at home plate.
Yeah.
So we've got the call here. Paulie's got what happened. And it is one of the craziest endings you'll ever hear in a baseball game.
Well, I've got...
We have to post what happened.
Okay. So, okay. Then I will give you the starts. Guy hits a three-run home run. Walk off.
Yeah. Missions lose.
Circles the bases. Game's over. Missions lose 5-4. Except.
But after the home run and they're celebrating at home plate, yep. There's about a minute where the broadcaster's like, well, what's going on? The Missions are still on the field.
Why are we here?
What is still going on?
What in the world could this be about?
I have no idea.
Did someone miss a base as they were rounding? They're throwing to third.
I think they're going to peel. That might be the case.
Whoa. An out has been called.
Third, the Missions win the ball game. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Oh my goodness! Bergen still gets his first win, and Sandridge getting a save. It was a three-run homer by Bowman, rather, and somebody missed third base, and the Missions somehow have their luck in their favor. Call reversed, and the Missions hang on. And win the ball game 4-2 in a crowd booing. Somebody missed third base on the home run.
Oh my gosh, Denzel Clark is having to be restrained. They're saying he's the one that didn't touch the bag. And he almost got physical with the umpires. He just threw the Gatorade cooler onto the field.
That could be a minor suspension right there. I can understand his frustration, but even on a home run, whether you're on base or whether you hit it, you have to touch every single base at home plate.
Touch them all.
So he forgot to touch third. They appealed. And then Sandridge threw to third, the third base umpire. And Crewtree Chris Presley Murphy called Clark out.
That would happen to the Tier 1 baseball team 100%.
I mean, we've seen it a couple of times where a guy misses a base on a home run try. It's rare, but we've seen it. But to have it in two outs in the ninth, so it's a walk-off home run for the home team, but instead it's the final out and erases the winning runs, and the road team wins on the appeal at third base.
Imagine giving up a three-run home run in the bottom of the ninth inning, and you still get a save. You still get the save. Oh, my God.
Insane finish. And it wasn't maybe even the craziest minor league game involving a Padres affiliate that night, because that's the same night that the El Paso Chihuahuas fell behind 15-1 to the Las Vegas Aviators in the fourth inning. And the Aviators blew it, and the Chihuahuas rallied for a 17-16 win at home on Saturday night.
That is so wheels off, man. 15-1 was
15-1 in the fourth, and the El Paso Chihuahuas rallied to win 17-16. It's minor league baseball is
it's excruciating.
Very
how long did that game take?
Wild.
7 hours?
Must have been.
It had to be. All right, so more Caitlin Clark discourse over the weekend, where they the list for the women that were going to be playing in the Olympics, the Olympic national team, were leaked. And she was not on it. And it went nuts all weekend. And, you know, my don't do this is not, I don't know the, what are the parameters, Ben, of deciding who plays on the team? Now, I did see a lot of discourse and
there's
a lot of
argument.
There's an
Olympic committee.
There's an Olympic committee.
They've got to decide the best 12 players.
Right. And a lot of people are saying, look, you'd be foolish not to put her on there for, even if she's the 12th person on the bench, the eyeballs, right? But, you know, they're also saying, like, it's our duty to pick the 12 best players that can help win us a gold. If we don't think she's one of them, she's not going to be one of them.
So I think, for me, the don't do this is the utter overreaction by everybody involved on both sides. And, you know, just the name calling, like, this is the stupidest decision ever to leave Caitlin Clark off the team. Aren't you trying to build women's basketball into a more popular sport? She's going to bring eyeballs. And then there's the other people who are so stuck on, well, she's not one of the 12 best players in the world yet. She hasn't gotten there yet. She will eventually. She's going to have, guess what? You're both right about this.
Yes.
You both sides
everybody's
are 100% right about this. Stop making it like it's some sort of commentary on the world today. It was a tough decision because it would have made some sense to put her on the team, even if she didn't play a ton. And there was a story that came out from Christine Brennan that they were worried that if she was on the team but then just sat on the bench, that wouldn't be a good look the entire time.
Yeah. She handled it like she really handled it well. She said, no disappointment, just gives me something to work for. It's a dream. Hopefully one day I can be there. I think it's just a little more motivation. You remember that. Hopefully when 4 years come back around, I can be there. I think it's pretty safe to say if she stays healthy over the next 4 years, she'll probably be there, man.
I mean, you know, could it have been an eyeball-generating moment to have her on the team? Yeah, it might be a missed opportunity. Some people might regret that. I saw people point out Christian Laettner was on the dream team. He wasn't one of the 12 best players, but he was a hot commodity coming out of college that summer and didn't play, obviously, much on the team except in garbage time.
Yeah, but it says here in this article, she turned 22 in January. The roster does not include any players under the age of 26. So, yeah, I mean, look, she's going to, like she said, she's going to use it for motivation. And I would
say it's not a snub.
Not a snub.
It may be a short-sighted decision.
Sure.
I mean, knowing that she's probably going to be on the team in 4 years and 8 years, you know, could that experience have been valuable? They're going to win.
Everybody would have understood if she was on the roster, and everybody understands
but
that
no
she's
one,
not.
Yeah, but no one understands ones. Either way, Paul. That's the thing.
They should.
Everybody is losing their mind. The people who said that she shouldn't be on the team are going like, you're crazy to say she should have been. It's not that big of a deal.
Yep, fair enough. I happened to get home last night from the barbecue. There was only one game left to watch, and it was Dodgers-Yankees in Yankee Stadium. Tyler Glass now on the bump. And I couldn't believe hearing. Now, Juan Soto's been out the entire series with strained forearm tendonitis.
Could be back today.
Inflammation. Could be back today. Missed, you know, obviously the biggest series of the year. Dodgers take the first two. Yankees looking to salvage one. You got to be feeling pretty good if you're a Dodger fan. You've won the first two games. You got Tyler Glass now on the bump. And up to the plate, batting in the five hole, no less, lowly Trent Grisham. And then Trent Grisham also, listen. We want Soto.
Oh, that is.
The crowd chanting,
that's cruel.
We want Soto.
I think he knows it, too.
That's crazy. You let Trent Grisham get you! He got you! Three-run homer
give
off
a, glass give a little do-do this, Paulie, for Trent Grisham there.
Oh, yeah.
D.D. Mega Doo-Doo.
A nice moment in what has not been a very great season for Trent Grisham in his first year with the Yankees. But to step up when your own fans are chanting for someone else to be batting instead of you and to hit a three-run home run is pretty awesome for Trent Grisham,
I think. Dodger killer.
I mean, by the way, sub don't do this, Yankees fans. You know Juan Soto's hurt.
You know he's
hurt. He would be in there if he could.
Yeah.
So just to chant for him to make what everybody feel bad about the situation, good fanning right there.
Did you see Soto? They flashed to him and he like had this like wry smile, but he also like had his head down like, oh God, this is awful. And Grish handled it really well, obviously hits the 3-run homer off Tyler Glass now. And no cheapie. I mean, this was not a Yankee Stadium home run. This was a missile. And you could just, you could feel the rage.
Did Dave Roberts take exception to that?
Tyler Glasnow's Hall of Famer. You know, he's got some work to do. Only off Clayton Kershaw. But you know, Dave Roberts is sick and tired of seeing Trent Grisham hit home runs against the L.A. Dodgers, man. Pretty nuts. Pretty nuts. But good for him. What a moment for him. And Aaron Judge, actually, after the game, came out and said, I did not like that, Yankee fans. I did not like that one bit. Trent works his ass off. Obviously, Juan's hurt. He's a great player, but he's going to be back. But I didn't like that from our fans very much. So the captain admonished the Yankee fans after, which I think was a smart thing to do.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we'll come back. We can talk a little bit about Friday's win as well. And I want to talk about this latest athletic piece that dropped this morning. It is the anonymous poll. Remember this? They did it last year of baseball players. Best and worst organizations to play
Ooh,
for.
I did not know this was out.
Most overrated players in baseball.
Oh, here we go.
It is out this morning.
Get ready to be pissed off.
Always some spiciness there. We'll get to that coming up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, wait. Is that Ben and Woods? Is he a great big fat person? Well, he used to be. Then he went to SD Fat Loss.
How did the Padres do in the anonymous athletic survey of Major League Baseball?
Frederico Bimmel. I can just go all day.
When did that movie come out? Like 1999, 90, somewhere around there?
All I know is I went to the movie theater to see it. A friend's dad. We were like 14 or something. Took us to see Silence of the Lambs. We sat through it. It scared the bejesus out of us. And he dropped me off at my home at, you know, 10:30 at night. And the run from the van to the car to beat on the door so my parents would let me in seemed like it lasted a lifetime. From van to door was just like, Mama! Mama! Banging on the door, let me in. Movie scared the pants off of me. Still does to this day. Still does. And that scene will live in infamy.
What was the, I believe Anthony Hopkins won the Academy Award for Best Actor.
Yeah.
Even though he only had like 16 minutes of screen time in the whole movie.
Talk about making that appearance count for you. You know, it's quality, not quantity. And he was brilliant in that movie. That movie still holds up as one of the scarier movies I've ever seen.
I'm sure he had done, I mean, he had already been an actor for a long time and done a lot of very important work before then. I didn't know who he was until that movie. And since then, he's obviously
been incredible.
A major star.
Incredible.
All right. I want to get to this survey. This hour of Ben and Woods is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. Get into Friday night's win quickly, and then some of the results of this recently released anonymous MLB player survey after traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So unlike Saturday's game, which truly was a laugher and a 13-1 win for the Padres, Friday night's game was close for a while. Padres jumped down to a 5-0 lead. Then the Diamondbacks got three back. Wandy Peralta allowed those two home runs.
Yeah, that was dicey,
but they were able to put it away. And it's surprising how rare back-to-back 10-run games are at Petco Park. How rare back-to-back three-homer games. It was only the eighth time the Padres have ever hit three home runs in back-to-back games at Petco Park.
Needed it. Needed it badly. Yeah. Badly.
Michael King had another solid outing.
Very good.
Not efficient necessarily, only made it through the five innings, but four hits, no runs, five strikeouts, and it snapped that five-game losing streak when the Padres badly needed to win on Friday night.
You feel pretty good when he's on the bump, yeah?
Yeah.
Pretty dependable for Michael King. And again, yeah, you'd love a little bit more length, wouldn't we all? But he makes you feel fairly comfortable when he's on the mound.
I feel comfortable pretty much with the five regular starters for the Padres.
Yeah, me too.
Vasquez, and then Major. I'm definitely iffy on. But
he's had two starts.
You know, right now, Dylan Cease, Michael King, Matt Waldron, we just talked about in a little bit earlier.
You could do worse than those three.
You know, when they're healthy, Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove are still I'm not too worried about them. I'm just worried about their health and getting them on the field pitching like they could. But they've got a good starting five if they could ever get them back on the field at the same time. And then it's the offense has just been so up and down here and there. And I get that that is true of every team to a certain extent. Just this last season and a half, it seems like it's so much more true of the San Diego Padres, the hot and the cold, the feast
or
the
famine.
Yes. For the Padres offense. A lot of that has to do with hitters hitting with runners in scoring position, but this year they've been better at it, and yet still there's been a feast or famine nature to the Padres offense.
Yeah, 3-for-9 runners in scoring position on Friday night, big hits, and yeah, I mean, look, it was close, and then it wasn't. They put it out of reach and won that game pretty handily, 10-3. And yeah, I mean, 23 runs in 2 days. I mean, we kind of—it's sad that you look at that, and you know, most sports, you go, man, nobody's hotter. There's nobody that can stop this offense right now. And then you run in on Sunday, and you score one early, and then you have to scratch and claw for 3 runs total. It just it you want to space those out. There's no way to do it. You just keep taking advantage, keep trying to get the big hit. But yeah, I there's no way to justify it, or there's no way to prognosticate this offense is hot or not. You don't know. You don't know with the San Diego Padres. Oh, their offense is red hot for 2 days. And then they come out and look like they've never played baseball before. It's just, and that's why, you know, you can't take exception to the roller coaster thing if you're Mike Schilt. It's a roller coaster, straight up.
Jake actually said something in one of the post-game stories that concerned me a little bit. It was something to the effect of, yeah, we just had to come out Friday and just really lock in and take it seriously. And you just wonder, all right, great. Why can't you do that more often? And if that really is the issue, like, hey,
is that
we're
just something you say.
I just think after, it's something you say.
Is it something you say after you hang 10 runs on somebody?
Maybe, but it also is.
We were locked in.
It's cause for concern when you say that, because then you wonder, well, what's going on in the other games if you don't feel like you're quite as locked in? I get it. It's a long season. I'm never going to. A one-off game here or there is going to happen to everybody.
That's the thing, though, is you can't, you and Mike Schilt can't, can, what does he call them?
Outliers.
Outliers. It's, they're really not. This is your team right now.
50% of your game can't be outliers.
50% is not an outlier. And again, we read the some of the numbers earlier about just how close they were in some of those games against the Angels and in during that losing streak. Again, the second best run prevention in baseball during that terrible streak. The offense didn't show up. The offense did not show up again against some pretty pedestrian pitchers. I understand you're going to run into a Ben Joyce that throws 103 miles an hour. He's not throwing every game. I understand that you're going to run into Tyler Anderson, who's got a 2.2 ERA. You're better than Tyler Anderson. You got to show up in those games against those teams that aren't good.
So you haven't seen this yet from The Athletic. The
I have not. I've not seen one.
Right, you want to try to guess along a little bit with some of the answers? So they did this at least last year. I remember going through it a little bit. But The Athletic interviewed anonymously over 100 Major League Baseball players this spring. And, you know, started the season just as they've had a chance. And total anonymity. So try to be honest with your answers, and asked a series of questions, starting with number one, who's the best player in baseball? And far and away, nearly 50% of the respondents said
Shohei Ohtani.
That is correct. 46% of the vote. Ronald Acuna Jr. was number two at 26.5%. Mookie Betts and Aaron Judge came in tied for third. Best player in baseball. Not a huge surprise there. How about this one, though? Who is the most overrated player in baseball? This one was much more split.
From players' perspective.
Players' perspective.
Oh, I bet you there's some Tatis in there. I bet you there's some Acuna Jr.
There was not a single vote for Fernando Tatis Jr.
Okay, good. These guys know ball.
Yeah. Jazz Chisholm.
There was another Padre.
There was. Manny Machado got 3.3% of the vote. He was tied for sixth with Pete Alonso and Cody Bellinger. But Jazz Chisholm was number one. 20%, which is pretty good. One of five players think Jazz is the most overrated player. Anthony Rendon, he was second. I don't know that anyone rates him that highly anymore.
You can't rate somebody that's not on the field.
Carlos Correa, Tim Anderson, and Jack Flaherty round out the top five.
Some pretty some guys that are mercurial, right? Some guys like that are kind of loudmouthy and speak their mind. I don't say loudmouthy, but speak their mind, certainly. That's interesting.
Here's an interesting one. Putting aside their stats and going solely on vibes.
Oh, vibes.
Who do you most want on your team? And they said it must be someone you're not friends with or you don't know well.
Harper.
I assume Jurickson Profar would win this hands down, although I don't see a single vote for Jurickson Profar.
I think
Tatis was like, he got one vote.
One vote?
Yeah, just like one vote.
Aaron Judge?
He was fifth, tied for third, actually, with 4.2%. It was Mookie, 12.6% in a very split vote. Shohei was second.
Give me a break.
So two Dodgers right on top of the vibes list.
You're telling me the vibes around Shohei are just phenomenal. I don't see it.
It's possible some of these votes came in during spring training. I have no idea.
Huh.
But that is
he's not a bad dude.
The vibes list.
When I see Shohei Ohtani, I don't think, wow, I'd like to hang out with that guy.
Evaluate this statement. Anthony Rendon was right. The season is too long. Yes, or no?
This was spring over the course of 2.5 months.
So that could be into the regular season as well.
Sure.
But, okay.
Yeah. All right. Evaluate this statement. Anthony Rendon was right. The season is too long. What do you think? Players agree or disagree with that?
90% of players agree.
30% of players agree.
Really?
68% said no, the season is not too long.
Yeah, they're afraid of their votes
it's
getting
anonymous.
Seen.
It's anonymous.
Yeah, totally. You ever send the Odyssey anonymous thing? Yeah, they can tell where it comes from.
You want to talk about good vibes? It's always good vibes on the work anonymous survey.
Place is great. I love the Ping Pong
table. I thought this one was interesting.
I love our copy machine. It's great.
This one's interesting. Which team would you sign with if contracts, state taxes, rosters were not a factor?
Everything
just
equal.
Which organization, which place do you want to play for? And the top eight here are pretty much, I think, the who's who of baseball with one interesting team thrown in there. But who's number one?
New York, Philly.
Yankees are in there. Phillies are in there.
Boston.
Boston is number two.
L.A.
Dodgers are number three. You haven't got number one yet.
Chicago. Nope.
Cubs are number six.
San Diego.
Seven. They are in the top eight.
Okay. And then the number one place to play? Miami?
Nope. Atlanta. Braves.
Atlanta.
Yeah,
okay.
That's number one was Atlanta, and number four was the Rangers, and you got everybody else. But the Padres are in there with, I mean,
because they want to be
good organizations.
All those players want to be held accountable by the Atlanta media, like Matt Kemp. That's why he was so excited to get to Atlanta.
Now, conversely, what organizations have bad reputations among players?
Miami.
Miami was on there, but not in the top five. They were seventh.
I figured with everything being equal, payrolls, everything else, like I feel like those guys like being in Miami.
This vote had 79 responses, and the number one team has 40 of the 79. It's about half.
So this is organizations that they wouldn't want to play.
Think ones with bad facilities.
Oakland.
Yes, Oakland, number one.
No offense to Mark Kotze, who joins us in exactly an hour.
Number two, the Chicago White Sox.
White Sox.
And number three, the Los Angeles Angels. Four, the Colorado Rockies. Five, the New York Mets. Now, Padres did get three of those 79 votes.
Okay.
But most teams got at least one vote. That did not. They have a bad reputation. Three people. But who knows who those three people possibly are.
Yeah, Drew Pomeranz.
One person said on the Yankees, nobody wants to play for them. Bunch of rules.
Yeah, a lot of rules. Got to shave and all that weird stuff. You don't feel like you can really be yourself in New York.
Here's
what I mean? Like, if you're a little bit of an outlier, like, you can't really be yourself.
Here's one that was very split. Should MLB shut down midseason so players can participate in the 2028 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles?
They probably said yes.
46% said yes, 53% said no. Now, they already have the World Baseball Classic. Now there's the Olympics, too. That's a lot of extra baseball for the top players. But it seems like half the players are pretty interested in doing that.
But they don't stop the regular season for the World Baseball Classic.
No, they just tailor everything to around the beginning of it.
Spring training.
Spring training, yeah.
There's a couple more here. Let's see. Number nine, have analytics helped your career, hurt your career, or made no difference in your career?
I would say they probably say it helped.
76% say helped, 10% say no difference, 8.6% say both helped and hurt. Only 3% of players actually think the analytics have hurt them. That's overwhelming.
Two of the comments on those who said it hurt them.
Yeah.
One guy said, I'm not a power guy. I like to put it in play, and the analytics say you need to hit for power.
Correct.
Thank you, Luisa Rice.
The other person said...
or Stephen Kwan.
The other person said, the less I know, the better. I think when you don't look into that too much, you can truly use your instincts better because you can be aware of your body instead of looking for something to give you the answer. And finding the answer within yourself, I think, is the most important thing.
A couple of feel players.
Yeah. Some feel players, which there's nothing wrong with that. The best players are the ones that are able to do both.
This guy said both. He said, analytics hurt my career by overthinking it, but helped me by learning the game and how it's all going.
I mean, think about Austin Hedges. He does not have a job without analytics. He doesn't have a job. There's no job for him. Right?
Correct.
Just the eye test alone of like, well, he seems to be framing it pretty well. Actually, he's blah, 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 and does this well and that well. Like, he probably doesn't have a gig without it. That's so interesting to me. You're seeing now, Ben, because these are guys that have come up using them, a lot of them, that's going to be the norm, obviously. And again, more information doesn't hurt. You can't use it as a boogeyman.
One last one, really quick. Was the Dodgers offseason spending good for the game? Yes,
remember
no,
who you're
or
asking.
I don't know.
Baseball players. Of course they said yes.
Of course they said
92%.
Yes. 92%.
They want to make money.
Very happy with that. All right. Interesting results again from the anonymous athletic player survey. All right, we'll come back. We got 2 hours remaining. I saw something very cool over the weekend that I'd like to share when we return with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, wait. Is that Bennett Woods? Is he a great big fat person? Well, he used to be when he went to SD Fat Loss.
How did the Padres do in the anonymous athletic survey of Major League Baseball players?
Frederico Bimmel. I can just go all day.
When did that movie come out? Like 1999, 90, somewhere around there?
All I know is I went to the movie theater to see it. A friend's dad. We were like 14 or something. Took us to see Silence of the Lambs. We sat through it. It scared the bejesus out of us. And he dropped me off at my home at, 10:30 at night. And the run from the van to the car to beat on the door so my parents would let me in seemed like it lasted a lifetime. From van to door was just like, Mama! Mama! Banging on the door, let me in. Movie scared the pants off of me. Still does to this day. Still does. And that scene will live in infamy.
What was the, I believe Anthony Hopkins won the Academy Award for Best Actor.
Yeah.
Even though he only had like 16 minutes of screen time in the whole movie.
Talk about making that appearance count for you. You know, it's quality, not quantity. And he was brilliant in that movie. That movie still holds up as one of the scarier movies I've ever seen.
I'm sure he had already been an actor for a long time and done a lot of very important work before then. I didn't know who he was until that movie. And since then, he's obviously
he's
been
incredible.
A major star.
Incredible.
All right. I want to get to this survey. This hour of Ben and Woods is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. Get into Friday night's win quickly, and then some of the results of this recently released anonymous MLB player survey after traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So unlike Saturday's game, which truly was a laugher and a 13-1 win for the Padres, Friday night's game was close for a while. Padres jumped down to a 5-0 lead. Then the Diamondbacks got three back. Wandy Peralta allowed those two home runs.
Yeah, that was dicey,
but they were able to put it away. And it's surprising how rare back-to-back 10-run games are at Petco Park. How rare back-to-back three-homer games. It was only the eighth time the Padres have ever hit three home runs in back-to-back games at Petco Park.
Needed it badly. Yeah. Badly.
Michael King had another solid outing.
Very good.
Not efficient necessarily, only made it through the five innings, but four hits, no runs, five strikeouts, and it snapped that five-game losing streak when the Padres badly needed to win on Friday night.
You feel pretty good when he's on the bump,
yeah?
Pretty dependable for Michael King. And again, you'd love a little bit more length. Wouldn't we all? But he makes you feel like fairly comfortable when he's on the mound.
I feel comfortable pretty much with the five regular starters for the Padres.
Yeah, me too.
Vasquez, and then Major, I'm definitely iffy on. But
he's had two starts.
You know, right now, Dylan Cease, Michael King, Matt Waldron, we just talked about a little bit earlier.
You could do worse than those three.
You know, when they're healthy, Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove are still, I'm not too worried about them. I'm just worried about their health and getting them on the field, pitching like they could. But they've got a good starting five if they could ever get them back on the field at the same time. And then it's the offense. It's just been so up and down here and there. And I get that is true of every team to a certain extent. Just this last season and a half, it seems like it's so much more true of the San Diego Padres, the hot and the cold, the feast
or
the
famine.
Yes. For the Padres offense. A lot of that has to do with hitters hitting with runners in scoring position, but this year they've been better at it, and yet still there's been a feast or famine nature to the Padres offense.
Yeah, 3-for-9 runners in scoring position on Friday night, big hits, look, it was close, and then it wasn't. They put it out of reach and won that game pretty handily, 10-3. And yeah, I mean, 23 runs in 2 days. I mean, it's sad that you look at that and, you know, most sports, you go, man, nobody's hotter. There's nobody that can stop this offense right now. And then you run in on Sunday and you score one early and then you have to scratch and claw for three runs total. It you want to space those out. There's no way to do it. You just keep taking advantage, keep trying to get the big hit. But yeah, I there's no way to justify it, or there's no way to prognosticate this offense is hot or not. You don't know. You don't know with the San Diego Padres. Oh, their offense is red hot for 2 days, and then they come out and look like they've never played baseball before. It's just, and that's why, you know, you can't take exception to the roller coaster thing if you're Mike Schilt. It's a roller coaster, straight up.
Jake actually said something in one of the post-game stories that concerned me a little bit. It was something to the effect of, yeah, we just had to come out Friday and just really lock in and take it seriously. And you just wonder, all right, great. Why can't you do that more often? And if that really is the issue, like, hey,
is that just something you say?
I just think it's something you say.
Is it something you say after you hang 10 runs on somebody?
Maybe, but it also is.
We were locked in.
It's cause for concern when you say that, because then you wonder, well, what's going on in the other games if you don't feel like you're quite as locked in? I get it. It's a long season. I'm never going to. A one-off game here or there is going to happen to everybody.
That's the thing, though, is you can't. You and Mike Schilt can't. What does he call them?
Outliers.
Outliers. It's they're really not. This is your team right now.
50% of your game can't be outliers.
50% is not an outlier. And again, we read the some of the numbers earlier about just how close they were in some of those games against the Angels and during that losing streak. Again, the second best run prevention in baseball during that terrible streak. The offense didn't show up. The offense did not show up again against some pretty pedestrian pitchers. I understand you're going to run into a Ben Joyce that throws 103 miles an hour. He's not throwing every game. I understand that you're going to run into Tyler Anderson, who's got a 2.2 ERA. You're better than Tyler Anderson. You got to show up in those games against those teams that aren't good.
So you haven't seen this yet from The Athletic.
I have not. I've not seen one second.
You want to try to guess along a little bit with some of the answers? So they did this at least last year. I remember going through it a little bit. But The Athletic interviewed anonymously over 100 Major League Baseball players this spring. And, you know, started the season just as they've had a chance. And total anonymity. So try to be honest with your answers, and asked a series of questions, starting with, number one, who's the best player in baseball? And far and away, nearly 50% of the respondents said
Shohei Ohtani.
That is correct. 46% of the vote. Ronald Acuna Jr. was number two at 26.5%. Mookie Betts and Aaron Judge came in tied for third. Best player in baseball. Not a huge surprise there. How about this one, though? Who is the most overrated player in baseball? This one was much more split.
From players' perspective.
Players' perspective.
Well, I bet you there's some Tatis in there. I bet you there's some Acuna Jr.
There was not a single vote for Fernando Tatis Jr.
Okay, good. These guys know ball.
Yeah. Jazz Chisholm.
There's another Padre.
There was. Manny Machado got 3.3% of the vote. He was tied for sixth with Pete Alonso and Cody Bellinger. But Jazz Chisholm and was Blake number one. Snell. 20%, which is pretty good. One of five players think Jazz is the most overrated player. Anthony Rendon, he was second. I don't know that anyone rates him that highly anymore.
You can't rate somebody that's not on the field.
Carlos Correa, Tim Anderson, and Jack Flaherty round out the top five.
Some pretty some guys that are mercurial, right? Guys like that are kind of loudmouthy and speak their mind. I don't say loudmouthy, but speak their mind, certainly. That's interesting.
Here's an interesting one. Putting aside their stats and going solely on vibes.
Oh, vibes.
Who do you most want on your team? And they said it must be someone you're not friends with or you don't know well.
Harper.
I assume Jurickson Profar would win this hands down, although I don't see a single vote for Jurickson Profar.
I think
Tatis was like, he got one vote.
One vote?
Just like one vote.
Aaron Judge?
He was tied for third, actually, with 4.2%. It was Mookie, 12.6% in a very split vote. Shohei was second.
Give me a break.
So two Dodgers right on top of the vibes list.
You're telling me the vibes around Shohei are just phenomenal. I don't see it.
It's possible some of these votes came in during spring training. I have no idea.
Huh.
But that is
he's not a bad dude.
The vibes list.
When I see Shohei Ohtani, I don't think, wow, I'd like to hang out with that guy.
Evaluate this statement. Anthony Rendon was right. The season is too long. Yes or no?
This was spring over the course of 2.5 months.
So that could be into the regular season as well.
Sure.
All right. Evaluate this statement. Anthony Rendon was right. The season is too long. What do you think? Players agree or disagree with that?
90% of players agree.
30% of players agree.
Really?
68% said no, the season is not too long.
Yeah,
they're
afraid of their votes
it's
getting
anonymous.
Seen.
It's anonymous.
Yeah, totally. You ever send the Odyssey anonymous thing? Yeah, they can tell where it comes from.
You want to talk about good vibes? It's always good vibes on the work anonymous survey.
Place is great. I love the ping pong table.
I thought this one was interesting.
I love our copy machine. It's great.
This one's interesting. Which team would you sign with if contracts, state taxes, rosters were not a factor?
Everything
just
equal.
Which organization, which place do you want to play for? And the top eight here are pretty much, I think, the who's who of baseball with one interesting team thrown in there. But who's number one?
New York. Philly.
Yankees are in there. Phillies are in there.
Boston.
Boston is number two.
L.A.
Dodgers are number three. You haven't got number one yet.
Chicago.
Nope. Cubs are number six.
San Diego.
Seven. They are in the top eight.
Okay. And then the number one place to play? Miami?
No. Atlanta. Braves.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's number one was Atlanta, and number four was the Rangers, and you got everybody else. But the Padres are in there.
Because they want to be
good organizations.
All those players want to be held accountable by the Atlanta media, like Matt Kemp. That's why he was so excited to get to Atlanta.
Now, conversely, what organizations have bad reputations among players?
Miami.
Miami was on there, but not in the top five. They were seventh.
I figure with everything being equal, payrolls, everything else, like I feel like those guys like being in Miami.
This vote had 79 responses, and the number one team has 40 of the 79. It's about half.
So this is organizations that they wouldn't want to play.
Think ones with bad facilities.
Oakland.
Number one.
No offense to Mark Kotze, who joins us in exactly an hour.
Number two, the Chicago White Sox.
White Sox. Terms.
And number three, the Los Angeles Angels, four, the Colorado Rockies, five, the New York Mets. Now, Padres did get three of those 79 votes.
Okay.
But most teams got at least one vote that did not. They have a bad reputation, three people. But who knows who those three people possibly are.
Yeah, Drew Pomeranz.
One person said on the Yankees, nobody wants to play for them. Bunch of rules.
Yeah, a lot of rules. Got to shave and all that weird stuff. You don't feel like you could really be yourself in New York.
You know what I mean?
Like, if you're a little bit of an outlier, like, you can't really be yourself.
Here's one that was very split. Should MLB shut down midseason so players can participate in the 2028 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles?
They probably said yes.
46% said yes. 53% said no. Now, they already have the World Baseball Classic. Now there's the Olympics, too. That's a lot of extra baseball for the top players. But it seems like half the players are pretty interested in doing that.
But they don't stop the regular season for the World Baseball Classic.
No, they just tailor everything to around the beginning of
spring training.
Spring training, yeah.
There's a couple more here. Let's see. Number 9. Have analytics helped your career, hurt your career, or made no difference in your career?
I would say they probably say it helped.
76% say helped. 10% say no difference. 8.6% say both helped and hurt. Only 3% of players actually think the analytics have hurt them. That's overwhelming.
Two of the comments on those who said it hurt them.
Yeah.
One guy said, I'm not a power guy. I like to put it in play, and analytics say you need to hit for power.
Correct.
Thank you, Luis Arise.
The other person said...
or Stephen Kwan.
The other person said, the less I know, the better. I think when you don't look into that too much, you can truly use your instincts better because you can be aware of your body instead of looking for something to give you the answer, and finding the answer within yourself, I think, is the most important thing. A
couple of feel players.
Yeah. Some feel players, which there's nothing wrong with that. The best players are the ones that are able to do both.
This guy said both. He said, analytics hurt my career by overthinking it, but helped me by learning the game and how it's all going.
I mean, think about Austin Hedges. He does not have a job without analytics. He doesn't have a job. There's no job for him. Right?
Correct.
Just the eye test alone of like, well, he seems to be framing it pretty well. Actually, he's blah, 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 and does this well and that well. Like, he probably doesn't have a gig without it. That's so interesting to me. You're seeing now, Ben, because these are guys that have come up using them, a lot of them, that's going to be the norm, obviously. And again, more information doesn't hurt. You can't use it as a boogeyman.
One last one, really quick. Was the Dodgers offseason spending good for the game? Yes,
remember
no,
who you're asking.
I don't know.
Baseball players. Of course they said
yes. Of course they said
92%.
Yes. 92%.
They want to make money.
Very happy with that. All right. Interesting results again from the anonymous athletic player survey.
It.
All right, we'll come back. We got 2 hours remaining. I saw something very cool over the weekend that I'd like to share when we return with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.